Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
lay me down. Heaven, hear me now. I love without a cause. After my walk, winter storms have come. And I lay by far. After all that I've been through, who longer can I turn to? I look through, I look through you. After all my strength is gone, and you are taken from, I look through.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you. That the Lord has granted us one more day to be in the land of the living. And we are here. The Lord says to pray for our city, pray for our nation, and pray for the world. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God. I ask for this Boston, Massachusetts, Lord God, that, Father, Lord, we have so many illegal aliens are coming. Immigrants are coming to this city from across the border. And Father, we know that it's going to get worse. Everybody, they're looking for a better life, but some is coming with ulterior motives to harm others, to get what they need. And some are going to kill people. No matter what they need to do to get what they need, they will do it. Father, we pray for protection over our city. We pray for protection over our nation. Lord, we ask you to protect the president, the vice president, the Congress, the senators, the House of Representatives, Lord, the Supreme Court Justice Department. Father, we ask you to protect those nurses and doctors that are willing to stand up and treat patients even though they have very serious sicknesses and disease. Father, we ask you to protect our police officers that are out there on the streets, those that are determined to protect and save, serve and protect, Lord. But we ask, God, that you remove the ones that are crooked and corrupt, that only want to abuse people of color. Father, we ask you to intervene in our schools as they're bringing the drag queens and all of this promiscuous stuff into our schools to corrupt our children. Lord, we ask you to press, oh God, for to bring back prayer into our schools, that our children have a beginning and an ending. Oh, Father, we ask today that you touch every nation, every continent, every prime minister, every president, and every government official all over the world, starting with the United States of America. Father, bring conviction to the hearts. Lord, you are not going to force anyone to serve you, but you have the power and the authority to bring conviction. That's all we're asking this morning, Lord, that you bring conviction to the heart that's going astray, that they may get in line with your word, get in line with your spirit, oh God. Father, we ask you to touch Bishop James as they have a lot going on. We pray that you touch Bishop and touch the apostle. Lord, that what they're about to get, the new improvement to their house of Bishop, that all goes well and speedily. Father, we ask for healing over their bodies, over their minds, over their souls. Father, we ask you to strengthen their children. We pray for Apostle Millie Jefferson, her sister, her daughter, her son-in-law, her grandson. Father, we lift them up today. Oh, God, we lift up Pastor Brown and Evangelist Brown, their family. We lift up Brother Deacon Fraser and his family. Lord, we ask, oh, God, that you comfort the church in the ear members, oh God, as they lost one of their members, Elder Norman. Oh, Father, we ask, God, that you comfort his family, his immediate family, that you give them strength to move on in spite of. But we recognize there'll be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. Father, we just thank you today. Lord, we ask you to bless this service today, and that what we say and do, Lord, let me do it in a way according to the Spirit to bring glory to your name. Holy Spirit of the living God, we invite you now to come on in and have your way in this service. We want to go in here. I'm going to hit you some quick verses, and then we're going to go into what we call the main thing, the main scripture. Now, we're going to be talking about eternal, the eternal tree of hope, the eternal tree of hope. And what we surmise in our spirit, man, is that Jesus is that eternal tree of hope. He is that tree that died upon a tree. Hallelujah. He is that tree of life. He is the tree of hope. He is the tree of eternal restoration. So we want to come to that tree of life, to that tree where life comes from. He is the one that we can receive the living food that we need to live, for our spirit man to live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand that? God's sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. He died on the cross so that we would have life. We'll have the right to the tree of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in so doing, we must repent. We must turn from our sin. We must be baptized. And we need to follow the commandments, the instructions that he has had the men of old pen down for us to follow. It's like a map, a blueprint for the house. And everybody has a portion that they have to follow. The electrician has a portion that they have to follow. The plumbers have a portion that they have to follow. The bricklayers have a portion that they have to follow. Now the carpenters have a portion. They have to set the framework for the structure, for the full structure. They have to put the four corners, the four sides. They have to make an entrance and an exit. All this has to be done. So God has given us everything in this blueprint for living till we exit this world. And then we enter into a new dimension, a new reality, a new realm with him. But we first have to follow this blueprint. We call it basic instructions before leaving earth. We must follow this. We cannot get to where we need to get to without following the blueprint. I know sometimes you get in the car, and I did it several times, and my baby would say, well, you always think you knew it all. Well, I don't put the address in the blueprint, inside the GPS. And we have, in the Cadillac, she don't have one in her car, but in the Cadillac has a very unique GPS system. And it came with a car. I didn't pay for it because it would cost too much money. But when you put the address in there, it will put you right just like you was going to a nail. And when you see the nail head, you're right on top of it. It will bring you right to the front door of the house. It will tell you when you get to that street. It will tell you just how much feet, how much yards or whatever, how much miles. Before you get there, when you get in close, they say, well, just down on the right or down on the left is your address. Your directions is now ended. Hallelujah. It takes you right there. Well, this book here is going to take us from where we are to where we need to be. But here in this book, let's go to John chapter 6. Let's start there in John chapter 6. Coming out, let's go to the Logos Bible and put it up in Logos Bible. Hallelujah. And then we'll be hitting up the Amplify and so on. Jesus have mercy. John chapter 6. Everybody know these scriptures. Very easy scripture.
Amen.
I mean, if you don't even know it, thank you, Brother Deacon. If you even know it, you heard some preacher say this scripture before. Because it's very, very pertinent to us as believers, this particular scripture, to know this scripture. You know, you got to know this. Hallelujah. And here in the King James Version, then we'll go back to the Logos Bible. In the King James Version, John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45, Jesus is speaking here in this book because it's in red. And we always hear the folks say, if it's in red, that means that Jesus is speaking. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is speaking for us, his people. Hallelujah. He is speaking clearly. Here he says in John chapter 6, verse 44, he let you know the instructions, how everything must be done. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus make a very profound statement here. If you think that you can come to him without being drawn, I hear people say, well, you know, when I was in the world, when I found Jesus, well, you didn't find him because he never was lost. For some reason, the Father has use of you, have use of us. And the Father draw us by his Spirit to Jesus, to receive Jesus, to accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. You say, well, I just was tired of, sick and tired of being getting high, getting drunk, womanizing, going to the clubs, and I decided to try this. No, you didn't decide nothing. If you had your own way, you would still, if I had my own way, I would still be in the club. I would still be going to the crack house if I had my own way. But the Lord told me, he came to me in the Spirit. He says, you will never get high anymore. But guess what happened? I told you all this all the time. I still try to get high. I went and bought all the drugs that I could get to try to get high. But know what happened? When the Lord said it, you can't go behind it. If God said it, you believe it, that says it. You cannot change it. I tried to get high and couldn't get high, because he had already told me that I would never be able to get high again. I would never be able to get drunk. It didn't matter how much liquor I drank. I would never be able to get drunk. Why? Because it would not have any effect on my mental, my natural faculties. It would not have any effect. So Jesus says, it is written in the prophets, and there shall be all thought of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. See? You heard. You learn of him. It's written in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. These are the prophets. The word is written about Jesus, that the Father is going to draw us to him. It's in the word. So it's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. We're talking about the eternal tree of hope. If you get to understand and to hear and know and understand of this Jesus that we speak about, you will know that once you hear of him and you begin to learn of him, you begin to develop a hope that's inside of you that you want to get to Jesus. You know, you'll hear people saying, but some people will say, oh, I'm going to see my Jesus. I know the day coming when I'm going to see my Jesus. I'm going to heaven. But when you look at them, it makes you start to think. You may call it judging, but I call it analyzing. But you start to analyze them. You look at them and you say, well, if they're going to heaven with all the stuff they're doing, I don't know where it can go. Because they're saying one thing and doing something else. I say all the time that the only way we're going to get there is if we live to go there. Yes, Jesus paid the price. You hear Bishop James would talk about that every day about the cross. Jesus paid a price that we couldn't pay. He paid the debt that we owed and we could not pay it. He paid a debt that he didn't owe, but he paid it anyway, so that we would have access to the tree of life, to the fountain of life, to the source of life. He paid the debt. But some of us, we would profess that we are Christians. I call them so-called Christians. But our lifestyle doesn't line up with the word that we're teaching and preaching. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying? I had a call. I had an inbox yesterday. And this person in another country wants to connect with me. Well, I know what the alternative motive is. Because it was taking me away from my focus. And I said, well, why don't you call me when you get a chance? Well, I'll delete the person from my page. But they still find a way how to get back to my page. You know, people have to know technology. People know technology a lot. Some people, and they know how to get around stuff to get. And you block, they still get. I don't know how to do it. I have to go down to Verizon if I want to do that. I have to man look at me and say, well, that's just an old man. He don't know much. So I said, well, I don't know how to do this in the computer. I have to go down there sometime. But I had to block that up because what happened is the enemy will set up people to distract you, delay you, and if possible, even kill you, which means you don't have no protection. When you come from under the blood of this word, under the blood, the protection of this word, you are an open target for the devil. And the devil will try everything because the devil can't touch you. He can come all around you, but he can't touch you because you're covered in the blood. You got to understand this. Even when you get disgusted and frustrated and say, I want to give up. No, the devil wants to get you because he knows he can't move you. But if he can frustrate you enough to make you give up and say, well, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to fast anymore. He got you. Because he's bringing, oh God, he's breaking down. He's breaking down by the Spirit. He's breaking down the guard that you have, the protection, the shield that you have that's protecting him from penetrating your soul. You have to break him down. So what he does is he puts off in your mind, and then you get all frustrated. You break down let down the walls. Like a man standing outside, and he wants to get in your house, and he says, I'm at the gate, and I got a package. Might know a friend of yours, and they said, call your friend in. I got a present from Sister Apostle Washington. I got a package here for you from Deacon Fraser. Apostle here from Pastor Brown. You know Pastor Brown. You know Deacon Fraser. You know Apostle Keller. You're going to press the intercom to let them in. When they get up there, now it's too late. They're already getting ready to put some bullets inside you or drive. Push a sword, a knife through your body because you just go because of what you heard. You haven't seen anything. We got to take this thing a little deeper. Where do they live? Where they come from? Where do they stay? Who is their cousin? Who is their aunt? Ask a lot of questions. I just got a message this morning on my computer that one of my credit cards are blocked. And I'm using credit cards. I got hundreds of dollars on that credit card from T-Mobile. I'm musical. I had three from T-Mobile. I shut down two of them. And I kept one. And they tell me the card is blocked. But I know if I want the card to be open, just open this email. But the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. See, because I know all the tricks that the people are doing. You have to pay attention. They will come at you every once they open that store door, they got access to me. To my credit on that card. See? So I said, No. When I get a chance, I call T-Mobile and find out what's going on. And most likely they're gonna tell me that's not them. You gotta pay attention. People call you and say, good morning, Mr. Keller. This is so and so and so. I'm on a recording line. Can you hear me? They want me to say yes. Once I say yes, they got me. They have me locked in. They can go do stuff now and say, well, I ordered something. Yes, they got the verification because they got my voice recording saying yes. Nobody don't know what I'm saying yes to. She said, you got to watch that stuff. We had to tell our mother-in-law. Our mother-in-law said, hello. She would call and say, well, we got this thing from the IRS and you got to pay this money because you don't pay. I said, mother, don't you answer them calls. Don't give them people your information. And next thing you won't be able to pay for your rent. You know? Because she's an assistant living. Yeah, how's she going to pay it? And she pays a lot of money a month. Then people rip off almost $6,000 a month to live in that place. But you know, we preach today, we find it too much. It's too much to take care of your mama, too much to take care of your father, because you don't want to wipe their behind. You don't want to clean them off because they're grown now. But they did it to you when you was a baby. You can't spend time to clean off your mama. My mama never went in the hospital. My sister and them took care because I was in America. They took care of her. But here in America, so when the woman or father get old or mother get old, they say, I'm going to put them in the hospital, put them in the nursing home, or put them in the assisted living. And they get treated bad when you go to look at them, the face all black and blue. That's why we go, one of the family members go every day to see see mother. Or if we see anything on them, we go through the whole place. We go own the building. That's right. We go check on her every day. But I wouldn't have sent her to let her go. I mean, she didn't want to come and live with us anyway. Because she like her own. She's independent. She like to do her own thing. You know, she like to be doing her own. She's 93. She can do her own stuff. But glory to God. We're just thanking God and praising God. This morning we're talking about the eternal tree of hope. And we got to get an understanding. Jesus said, God said here in John chapter 6, verse 44. He said here in the King James Version, and I tell you, I'm going to look at it in the Logos. But he says here in the King James Version, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Jesus saying that. And I told you already that so many people go around running their mouth saying that, when I find Jesus, when I find Jesus, when I find God. And I said, where was God lost? I've been looking all through this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I can't see no place where Jesus was lost. Matter of fact, he was in the crowd, and they were looking to kill him. After he said he was the Son of God, they were looking to kill him. And he was at the crusade, and they couldn't see him. He just slipped through the crowd, and he was in the crowd with them. They're looking for him. The rabbis and the priests and the Pharisees, all them folk that supposed to be know the word, supposed to represent the one to kill Jesus. But they couldn't catch him because they wouldn't in time. Verse 67 says, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Did you hear what he said? The Father has to make that decision in heaven to draw you and draw out somebody coming in with a block number. I don't know why. Well, it's going to stay there. If they block their number, stay there. I'm not pulling no block number. They got the number blocked. So here back here in 45, we're still in John 6. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all thought of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. See, you got to hear. See, you got to hear the word of God. If you look in the prophet, he's talking about in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, Isaiah 43 and verse 30, Isaiah 54. Excuse me, Isaiah 54 and 13, Micah chapter 4, verse 2, and Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. It's other places in Isaiah that they talk about Jesus. But he said it talks about him. It's in the prophets. So now we get over here and we say, well, I don't know why. I never heard this before. It's in the Word. Go to Isaiah chapter 3, chapter 2. Let me show you over here. You see what it says in Isaiah chapter 2. They talk about him. 2:2:2:2:2. In verse 3 it says, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hear that? You got to hear it. He draws you to hear the word. Jesus is the word. When you hear the word, you hear of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You go to Micah and see the same word. You go to Jeremiah, the same word. He's not lost. He's always been found. Go to Luke chapter 13. Now, before you get there, let's look at the Logos in that same verse, the Logos Bible 6 John 6 and verse 44. They talked about they will all be taught of God. Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 54 and 13. We just read that. We just called it out. In support of his assertion that true disciples will recognize him in the teachings of the scripture. See, where we are, where we hear people teaching, truly teaching the gospel, we recognize that they're teaching about Jesus. Only those that have an ear to hear will hear what the Spirit is saying. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13 says, Isaiah 54 and verse 13, and all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of the children. See, we got to teach them. Solomon said, train up a child in the way it should go. When you get old, he will not depart. We got to train the children. Let's go, what I say, let's go to Luke chapter 13. You want to get by that tree, that living tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Jesus is that tree that God has the source. He has the substance that you and I, that we need to live. Apostle said yesterday, there's no life apart from Jesus. You might think you're living, but you saw, we used to go in the movies and watch the picture called The Living Dead. I don't know if you all ever seen it. Or The Walking Dead. Something like that. It's a long time. I've been to the cinema in a long time. But the people were walking around, and they would look for living people to eat, to drink blood, to suck their blood and eat their flesh, because they didn't have no life. They were walking around, but they had no life. And you have some so-called Christians that are walking around, but they have no life. They don't have any life because they don't have, they haven't had a spiritual encounter with Jesus. Yes, they read the Bible. I hear you, Apostle. They read the Bible. I hear you, Bishop. Because they read the Bible, but they haven't had an encounter with the one who gave the Bible. When Paul was doing all the stuff that he was doing to the Christians, he thought that he was helping God or he working for God. Until he had an encounter on his way to Damascus. After he had an encounter to Damascus, he realized how wrong he was. You got so many preachers today that believe that they're so this and so that. Preaching a half gospel, a half a gospel, a half truth, and they think they're going to heaven. Lying to God's people wouldn't allow the people to know that they got to live holy. And without holiness, no man will see God. They don't let the people, no, just come on. Joel Osteen owns 75 point something million dollars. His house is, hey, one of his house costs $10 million for him and his wife and his kids, a couple of kids. Big mansion. He had more cars than some of the people. I mean, so many cars. I mean, he had like 30, 40 cars. People just want to sell a car in his life because they think, well, if they sell a car in his life, that they're going to heaven because he preached the half-truth too. He tell the people the idea that he don't call himself a pastor. Well, if you call yourself a pastor, why don't you send them people out that you came that you ministering to? Tell them come to church. He said, I don't call myself a pastor. I just try to do good. I just try to encourage the people that they can, you know, as long as they're doing good, it's all right in the sight of God. I mean, they're enjoying their lives. You know how he waves. They're enjoying their life. As long as they're enjoying their life and they're treating other people good, it's okay with God. It's more than just treating people good. You can give to the poor. You can give to the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, and the homeless, and all the people and still go to hell. If you're not obeying what God is saying, you're doing one thing that God said do, but all the other things said don't do, you're still doing. You got to look at the full schematic, the whole blueprint. You know, when I don't follow the schematic, I don't follow the GPS, and my wife got to jam me up and say, why didn't you put it in the GPS? We've been driving for a long time. We should have been there. Like, you know how small I feel. She don't have no trouble telling me. I told you could put it in the GPS. So what I do now is when she talked to me and she tells me, I said, okay, honey, I said, I'm going to put in GPS right now. I don't give a chance to even get on my nerves. I'm telling the truth. I don't give a chance to get on my nerves and say, why did you put it in the, why did you put it in the GPS? Maybe I didn't want to put a GPS, but she tells me straight. She said, look, you need to put it in the GPS. If you didn't put it in the GPS, we wouldn't be driving, driving and driving like we, like our heads are cut off. We don't know where we're going. And this is what a lot of people do. God is calling us to preach this truth and preach it uncompromising truth, infallible truth. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word. Luke chapter 13. Let's start at verse 6. And he told this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. So he said to the gardener or the caretaker, behold, for 3 years I have come by looking for fruit on this tree and did not find any. Cut it down. Why exhaust the soil? But that he answered and said to him, sir, leave it alone this year also until I dig along it and put measure on it. I put manure on it. I'm coming up the logos. And if indeed it produces fruit in the coming year, so much the better. But if not, you can cut it down. Now the gardener began to hear Jesus wants the tree to be cut down because here in this order here is Jesus. He wants to eliminate the tree. But the gardener, the one who take care of the fruit trees and so on, he said, well, don't cut it down. Let it just stay a little while longer. And I will put some manure fertilizer around the roots. I will dig around the base and I will put some fertilizer around. Give it some life. We need to get life, go back to Christ. And we need to repent and we need to soak up all that he has for us so that we can experience the life-giving source that he has prepared for us at the cross. We walk around because we know two scriptures and we can paralyze the scriptures. We got some Greek, we got some Hebrew, and we got some Latin, and all this stuff. We got some Aramaic, and we are speaking eloquently. And we think that we have arrived. But we are missing the big picture. We are not bearing any fruit. All our branches are withering. They don't have the source, the nourishment that they need to provide fruits. This man here, he said, cut down the tree. But the caretaker said, look, he extended some grace. Sometimes all you need is a little bit of grace in order to get and to do what the master wants done. This parable is found only in Luke, but it resembles Jesus' rebuke of the fig tree in the other synoptic gospel in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 and 19. Excuse me. Luke, Mark chapter 11, verse 12 and 12 to 14. The primary point of the parable expressed in Luke chapter 13 and verse 8 and 9, here continues the theme of judgment. The gardener suggests a period of grace. The gardener advises the vineyard owner to give the fig tree more time. Perhaps it can be nurtured so that it will bear fruit. We as believers need to go back. You know, we need to take inventory of our own walk. And instead of pointing fingers at everybody in the mama, in the cat, in the dog, let's point fingers at our own soul. Let's look into the hard drive of our soul, of our mind, And see, if our lifestyle, if our living is coming up to what God has in the book, is it matching up to what God has in the book? Am I getting mad and I'm talking to my wife in the way that I shouldn't talk to her? That God is not in agreement. Am I talking to my children? Am I talking to my husband, to my co-workers in a manner that does not give God glory? See, I got to look at everything. I just can't look at one thing and think that I'm all right. Because every time the pastor call on me, I'm there. Every time the pastor said, come on down to the building, I jump in the car and get down. Okay, pastor, I'll meet you there. Since this time, I'll be there. For sure, I'll be there. It's more than just turning up at a church building. See, I got to examine my own self from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I got to stop preaching. I got to stop pointing my fingers over there at Mary and John and Peter and James. I got to look at David. See, if I'm ready, I'm drinking from the fountain of life. If I'm ready, going to that tree. If I'm truly a branch that's bearing fruit, am I really bearing fruit? I'm just playing with the vine. I cannot deceive the vine. The vine knows. If I'm not bearing fruit, he already said it, cut it off. He has severed it. Destroy it. So I have to examine myself. The gardener extended grace. Here, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to John. Let's go to John chapter 15. All these scriptures you know. John chapter 15. Hallelujah, Jesus. I told that we're in such a bad time. I've seen people, man, this bestiality, I think it's bestiality. I think I don't pronounce it right, but I told that stuff is like crazy, man. Seeing women out going on Facebook and they're kissing the dog, doing French kisses with the dogs. I mean, filthy, nasty, filthy. That's why if you got a husband, if you got a wife, man, you know your husband, you know your wife, man, just thank God. Man, don't get involved with that. They step up because you don't know. You may be going down with somebody that is, they're sleeping with a dog and sleeping with a cat and all that kind of stuff and the donkey and the horse, all that stuff. Man, you got to, man, you don't know what you're going into. Man, be satisfied and be content with your husband, with your wife. Don't look at her because she look good and look good. Man, stoop. You may be dealing with some agent of the devil that comes filled with bacteria inside her body. As soon as you dip inside of her, you take it back home to your wife, to your husband. Man, I'm telling you something. Man, she's sick. And I told her, nasty. I said, you nasty. I put on Facebook. I said, you nasty. Come on now. And they're getting on your page. They just show up on your page. Nastiness. We know we're in the last day because the Bible says so. The Bible says so in the book of Leviticus, they're going to be sleeping with the animals, having sex with the animals. And here in the book of John chapter 6, we're going to jump up in this and down with this. Verse 6 says, if any man does not remain in me, Jesus speaking, I know it's Jesus. The Logos don't show you that it's Jesus, but I know it's Jesus. It don't show you that. If any man does not remain in me, he is thrown out as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, you can say, well, natural fire. But if you really focus, let's go back up to verse 1. If you really focus on this text, you know, when folk leave the church, they go back into the world. They go back into the world, and they start doing the same thing that they were doing when they leave and went to the church. And now it seems like fire that they're in because they're going through so much torment. I remember the first time that I relaxed from drugs and I went back out there. It was worse than when I first went into treatment. I didn't believe that the drug would change. But my body couldn't take it. It was bad. I feel like I was strolling in hell, like I was burning. I was burning. And this is what he says. He says, I am the vine, and my father is the vine dresser or the caretaker. The father watches over us while we are here on the earth. The father is watching over us by his spirit. Do you know that? He's watching us. Even when we get all upset and we are frustrated, I didn't even know until this morning I was watching something on TV, on a computer, but all the different religions. I didn't even know there was a religion in India called, in Pakistan, in another part of over there, they talk about, called Confucius. Call it Confucius or Confusion. I said, man, how can you join a religion or any kind of organization that call themselves Confucius? Confusion! I said, man, all types of religion. I said, my God. But God said, he said, every branch that does not bear fruit in me, he removes it. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it in order that it may bear more fruit. See, God wants us to bear fruit. The whole key is bearing fruit. But he chose his disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen. They were going up in the boat to catch fish out in the Galilee River. Out in the Sea of Galilee. But when he called them, he said, look, follow me and I'll make you no fishers of men. Instead of catching fish in the ocean, I'm going to make you go up there and catch some fish here, men fish. Men for the kingdom, to do work in the kingdom. See, our job, this morning the Lord was convicting me so hard. Our job is not to get mad at people. Our job is to pray for people. That's our job. Mm-hmm. Don't get mad because they're acting up simple. Our job is to pray for them. Because God wants us to pray and send that sickle into the atmosphere that the book of Revelation talk about. Send out the sickle, that the sickle, because he said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. He wants us to pray, and when the prayer goes out in the atmosphere, I hear you, Holy Ghost. The prayer acts like a sickle, and the prayer cuts and pulls them out of darkness into the light. But what we do, we get mad with them and say, man, I don't care if they all die and go to hell. God said, no, don't do that. He said, son, don't get angry with them. They're not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. We only have one enemy. It's the devil.
That's
God
right.
God said, you got to pray for them. He said, you got to, thank you, Apostle. He said, you got to pray for them. He said, pray for them even when they're acting foolish. They don't know because the devil has control of their mental faculties. You got to pray for them. Pray them, Oka darkness. And then he says, remember, 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. Mm-hmm. He told me, pray. I mean, I heard him say, he said, remember 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. First thing he said, that he will receive the prayer that goes up out of this place. So if you are praying, God hears you, heaven hears him, and he begins to forgive us. Hallelujah. But not only that, the prayers that coming up of the house, he hear of this place. So God wants us to pray for them. Even when it don't look, seem like nothing's happening, God says, it's happening. The moment you begin to pray, he start working. He dispatched angels to work on that prayer, send that prayer. They have a sickle, spiritual sickle. Hallelujah. So here he says, oh, my God, thank you. Listen to what he says. Oh, every branch that does not bear fruit in me, in him, he removes it. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it in order that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. See, the word of God cleans you. See, this is why that we got to study the word every single day. I mean, we get up, and we don't feel like doing it. We don't feel like praying. We don't feel like singing. We don't feel like dancing. We don't feel like doing nothing pure. We don't want to do anything because our body don't feel right. Our nervous system is acting up, and God says, you need to do it. Why? Because the word that he's spoken, it cleans us. When we begin to say the word of God, the word changes the atmosphere that we're in. Not only does it change the atmosphere, but it begins to change us. It begins to rejuvenate us. It begins to remove the heavy burden off of our shoulders. It begins now to give us life. When you get up, your body seems like it's aching all over. But the moment you start to say that word of God, the moment you start to preach that word of God, the moment you be that way, he says, come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. See, you open your mouth and you begin to walk through the house and call those scriptures up. Yes, your husband said, well, you don't have to sell snow now. Your wife might say, baby, you don't need to. Can you just pray or read songs? And no, I can't do that. Because I need to hear myself. I need to hear myself, and I need to hear myself speaking with authority. And when I'm speaking with authority, what happens is that same authority that I'm speaking with begins to change me. It begins to elevate me in the spirit realm that I need to be in at all times. Listen to what he says. This is so sweet. He said, remain in me, verse 4, and I in you. You see, that there's a key right here, that when we remain in him, he remains in us. I know you say, how about that? Now, remain in him. Have a mindset. Have your mindset on him. Hallelujah. Everything that you're doing is about giving God glory. If you're just sitting down watching the news, God always should be right there with you. Right there. Because, right, if you're not there, you're going to see some things going to come up on that television screen that are going to disturb your spirit. Listen to me. Oh, my God. Some things going to come up on that computer that are going to disturb your spirit and make you begin to act just like them. And remember, he said, we are in this world, but we're no longer of this world. We are being renewed. We are being transformed. We are being perfected all the time. So while we're being perfected, we got to allow him to perfect us. So we got to stay in him and him in us, knowing that he is in us, have that mindset. Now, I can't let this pull me over there today. I hear the president saying some things. I hear Congress saying some things. Police doing some stuff. I know I can't go over there. I can't act because once that stuff come out my mouth, I can't retain it. So now, Lord, I got to ask God. So, God, just clear my thoughts, keep my thoughts pure, Lord. Lord, I pray for whatever's coming up on that screen right now, Lord, that you take control. Lord, wherever it originated, Lord, you fix it right there at the source, Lord. Talk to those. You deal with those that are at the source, Lord. That they will know that whatever they're doing is offensive to the people. He said, just as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. See, we want to win people for Christ. We want to win people for Christ, but we don't want to remain in Christ. How do you remain in Christ? When you're doing what Christ said, do. When we're doing, let me put myself in there. When we are doing, when we're obedient to the word of God, doing what he said, do, we're in him. We're in him. We say, oh, I say the word every day, but do you obey the word? I preach the word 7 days a week. I hear the word 7 days a week. Do I obey the word? Well, Pastor, you know I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not perfect either. So when you fall, when we come up short, we ought to just fall back and say, let me just take a minute. Lord, forgive me. Lord, my thoughts just went over the cliff. They should have been on top, but they went over the cliff. Which means I was thinking something, even about to do something that was contrary to the word of God. Find time to repent, because folks are talking, we ought to be in the spirit all the time. But as much as you want to be in the spirit all the time, you can't be in the spirit all the time. That's why you always have to be ready to repent, ready to ask God to forgive you. Strengthen me in the areas that I'm weak, Lord, and the areas that I'm strong make me even stronger, Lord. Because I'm being attacked on the left, the right, the top, the bottom, everywhere I'm being attacked spiritually. Mentally, thoughts are coming in like bombarding my mind. They're coming in. Why are you following this stuff? Why are you doing this? Why are you got to do this every day? You don't seem like you're having no fun. It don't seem like you're enjoying yourself. Everybody's going on and doing this. People having sex. People doing this thing. Drinking. All this stuff is bombarding in my mind. You've got to be real with yourself. When you become real with yourself, you become victorious. Do you know that? To thy own self be true, this Bible says. to thy own self be true. Don't try to please nobody. Make sure that we're in right standing with God. If we're in right standing with him, no good thing will be withdrawn from us. I can call on God for healing, for deliverance, for restoration. Because I'm endeavoring to please him. My mindset to please. Listen to what he says. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit. For apart from me, you are not able to do anything. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out as a branch and dries up. And there, we're talking about the world. The world system. The world system. See, when you wait, oh my God, Holy Spirit. When we don't have this living water flowing through us, our soul, we become dry. We become dry. You ever seen somebody trying to pray, and you know they haven't been spending time in the Word, and they're trying to pray. Hallelujah. I get getting hit with a phone call. 515. I know the New York number, but I haven't remembered the number. I've seen the number several times, but I haven't talked to that number. But this morning when I woke up, the Lord said, after I prayed and started walking, got my teeth. I still got my teeth. I got two different teeth. I got a herb teeth and natural teeth. And I got them right here next to me. But they're going back cold. I have to heat them up after the service. But the Lord said, call that number, see who it is. So when I called that number, I heard a voice. I didn't recognize the voice. I said, well, who is this? And the voice said to me, who is this? I said, this is Apostle Callender. Said, oh, Apostle Callender, this is Mother Hume. I said, oh, yes, I know who you are now. I said, because I see this number three or four times, maybe five times since last week, coming to me. And I didn't recognize the number, so I didn't pick up. If I don't recognize your number, I just don't pick up. Because so much stuff is going on today in this world. So, Apostle, as I walk up, as I called her, she was still in bed. I could tell. I could hear her yawning and stuff and stretching. So I said, we talked. She said, I spoke last to you. She said, I was calling you because I want to wish you happy Thanksgiving and different other things early if she wanted to talk to me about. And then I talked to her for a few minutes. Then the Lord says, well, you got to get off. Just a little while ago before I start blocked up. You know, you got to get up and set the computer and get some tea and all that. So I said, before we go, let me just pray for you. And all of this scripture started coming up in my spirit as I was praying for her. I almost started weeping. Weeping. He said, I can get up now. I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a good day. So you have to move. All them times she'd be calling me, I didn't call her. Because I didn't recognize the number. But this morning, the Holy Spirit says, call the number. Call the number. And she needed me to pray with her this morning or somebody. But God used me this morning. But we're talking about the eternal tree of hope. See, when folk want to pray, don't they have me spending time with God? They are dry. Jesus says here in the book of John, come up the Logos Bible, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out as a breath and dries up. And they, talking about the world, gather them and throw them into the fire. Now, the fire here now is not the fire of hell. This is the fire of confusion, the fire of destruction, the fire of torment in this world. Now, you know, when you go back in there, I'll tell you earlier, people, when they leave the church and go back in the world and act in promiscuously, man, it's worse. Oh, Lord, you see some of the folk that go back from the church. Leave the church, the body of Christ, and go back in the world because they got mad. One lady last night was saying, she said she's a Caucasian lady. Can't remember her name. She's a recording artist. Her record now is number one on the gospel charts. Her song that what did you see what you did to me? Or so I'm trying to find the song, but a lot of different songs with that title will come up last night. And she sang a little bit. I was listening to it. She says that she got so hurt in church. Beautiful, lady. And she. No, she's married. Her husband, they're both Christians and stuff. And she said she left the church. And she was out of the church for a while. She said, because the people hurt her. She got so hurt so bad in the church. And she said, while she was home, she was about to commit suicide. And the Spirit of the Lord came to her. and begin to minister to her. And she said one thing that she realized is that the peace that she wanted to get from the church, she could only get it from Jesus. Nobody could give her that peace. And the Lord told her to get up, get herself dressed, and go back to the church. She said she went to the church, and the pastor made an altar call. And the altar call was that if anyone wants to have a touch from the Lord Jesus, come to the altar. She said she fell down at the altar. I'm talking about the eternal tree of hope. She fell down at the altar. And she began to receive something that she had never received before. She said she got a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ at the altar. She said she answered it almost 3 hours at the altar. The church was closing down and she was still at the altar. She said, I've never had so much, she called it snot. Cold and water, tears come out of her body. She said she thought they would have to replace the carpet at the altar where she was. She said, my life had never been the same. And what she was saying, she said, don't allow the church folk to run you away from Jesus. You didn't go to the building for the pastor anyway, or the bishop, or the apostle, or the elder, or the deacon. You went there to be closer to Jesus. So we get back here, Jesus says, I said, don't allow this word to cause you to become dry. Don't allow the folk in the church to cause you to become dry. Stay hooked up to Jesus, and Jesus stay hooked up to you. You and him and you. That's what he said here in John chapter 15. Here, the last verse I want to give here is the same verse I want to go over. I think I had seven. Yeah, don't, six. Yeah. If anyone does not remain in me, see, that's the key. Don't matter what's going on. Man, there's times that I don't have anything, Apostle, but I try not to speak that in the atmosphere. Man, I'm so low in the natural. But in the spirit realm, I'm so high. I'm so high. Glory to God. Because I trust that God hears me, and only he can do for me what I need done. Not no man, not no woman. Only he can do. And when God tell me cut off some stuff, I cut it off. Why do I cut it off? Because I want more him. In order to get more him, I got to be obedient. Some people say, well, you got to give more yourself. But no, you got to be obedient. Because people say they're giving more themselves, but they're not obedient. Yeah, I'm obedient to God, but they're not. They say, I give it God more me. But they're not obedient. They're not obedient. They're not willing to do what God said. I give to the poor. I give to... No, but are you obedient to God? You're giving a lot. You're sacrificing a lot. Abraham was doing a lot. He was doing a lot. He had servants that couldn't get... Do nothing much for him, but he was taking care of all them. All them poor people taking care... I looked at it. But so Abraham, when God says, look, you'll give me all type of stuff, but there's one thing you got that I want to see if you would give it to me. What, God? You see your son, Isaac. I even had another son, Ishmael, but Isaac was the son of the promise. And he was dead to Abraham. God, that's what God wants. How much time that are we willing to give to God when God calls for time? If God tell me travel tomorrow, get him up, I'll call. And if I can get a flight, I'll travel. I don't care where you want me to go. I'll travel. Because I made up my mind that I'm going to serve him with everything that's within me. I don't care about the other stuff. The other stuff is mediocre. It's not going to kill. You can't carry. But Job said, naked, I came into this world naked, so I'm going to go. I can't carry nothing from there. I have to get this mind of mine right. I got to get my body right, my soul right to God. He said what he says. Let's go to 7. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want. And it will be done for you. That's where I want to stop right there to that first day. See, we got to stay connected. I had to put up all them stuff for the fall in my garden. And I got 2 plants out there that are standing strong. I got some onions and stuff out there. Onions, and I got some stuff in the ground, some ginger and stuff. But I got 2 plants that are standing strong. It's a bay leaf tree, a bay leaf. And it's a bay leaf a rosemary, and the other one is parsley. And they're standing strong. And when I look at it, because all the other stuff will start to wither. The green peppers and stuff, the trees for the green peppers, they all withered. They summer plants. But the other ones that can stand the weather, I said, wow. Did the leaves on them on the rosemary don't even turn on the parsley or the other one? They wouldn't even turn. They can stand the weather. So I had to put up all the other stuff. They're not good. These are hooked up. God wants us to be able to stand this weather that we're in, we're going through as Christians. The weather of torment, the weather of persecution. We have to stay connected to this life source that I'm talking about. The eternal tree of hope, we got to stay connected to it. This is where we're going to have the endurance to stand and preach and teach the gospel in spite of how people are saying, what people are saying about us. Go to Revelation chapter 22. Then we're going to go to Psalm 1, Revelation 22, at the King James Version. Let me turn my pages fast and get here. He says, 22, let's start to verse 1. And he showed me, this is John talking, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 4 says, and they shall see the face, and they shall see his face, excuse me, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. He said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book. This is the book of Revelation. And we're talking about the tree of hope. This eternal tree of hope. See, we have to get the mindset to be submissive to Christ Jesus. See, we're not going to obey him until we commit and submit to him. We are going to constantly play in church to hear the congregation saying, how well you preach, how well you sing, how well you play the keyboard. Oh, that song you played this morning was off the chain. It was off the rocker. But what is God saying in heaven when he looks at our hearts when we are preaching and teaching? Are we sincere in releasing the word of God? Are we sincere in the giving of our substances to the people of God? Are we sincere? Or we just want to get our name out on Facebook, on Twitter, on Periscope, on Instagram? You understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of people are doing these stuff. How much do we give to the poor? I love giving. You all love giving. I know we all on this line love giving. Well, we give them because that's the instructions that God gave to us. He said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. He said, when you give to the poor, you lend to him, and he'll repay. God's the instruction that God says. But we're not giving to God for God to give us back something. We're giving to him because we love God, and God gives to us every time. And God give you life, that's more than enough to preach him. That's more than enough to cause me to give. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Do you know that? Somebody. Revelation chapter 19. Let's go right there. We're right in there. And then we're going to come up to some of us trying to get in here. Say God, a little bit more. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. We're talking about the eternal tree of hope. Hear what it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8.
Amen.
Well, let us do. Yes, yes. He said, let us be glad and rejoice. Thank you, Brother Deacon. And give honor to him for the marriage of the Lamb. And come, it's come. And his wife has made herself ready. Are you ready? If he call you tonight, are you ready? You are the wife. He is the husband. Are you ready? See, every day we ought to live our life, a ready life. Our life is prepared because we don't know. When I leave this car, leave here and go to my truck and go into the gas station or the store or car wash and I come, I don't know if I'm going to make it back. I'm not sure. With all of these bullets and stuff going through the air and people coming up behind people and initiating, doing an initiation hit, stabbing people in the back and stuff that they don't even know. They say somebody got shot at the gas station. Don't even know, without a reason. You don't know. So we have to live this life that is already, you're already ready. Ready for the bridegroom. He said, he then said that he was going to make her ready. This is what I see here in this verse. But she has made herself ready. Hallelujah. David said, created me a clean heart. But here in this verse here, he said that the wife or the bride has made herself ready. She has purified her thoughts and minds. She has given her soul completely to Christ Jesus. She hasn't compromised because of the worldly stuff. The worldly stuff didn't move her. People are dying and going to hell super rich. Billions of dollars and dead and going to hell. That's why I told you one the other day, I'd rather go to heaven broke than to go to hell knowing that he was a rich man. He had millions of dollars. He had two jets. He had two places with four swimming pools, six car garage, all that. I don't want this stuff. I don't want this stuff. I'm striving to get closer to him. Listen what it says, verse 8 says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. The linen represents righteousness, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Do you hear that? We got to get ourselves right. How do you say, well, some people say, well, no man can make himself right. Well, no, the Bible didn't say that. The Bible say that. You can get yourself right by following the instructions, following the commandments, following the statutes, the laws of God, make yourself right. Living them out. Don't just read them. Don't just study them. Follow them. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Thank you, Apostle. 26. I got so much scripture on the verse. About 40 scriptures. I got about 40 scriptures. And I'm going to do, three parts or four parts. And I got about 40 scriptures written down. But here, Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. And let's see what's right down here, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but there shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. See this is what we go before. We're learning to reign with him. You can't reign with him because you go to the church building. You can't reign with him because you sing in the choir. You can't reign because you play the keyboard or the drums or the bass guitar or the guitar or blowing the saxophone or the trumpet or some musical instrument. You can't play because you are the pastor right-hand man or the pastor right-hand girl. You can't reign with him because of that. You can't reign because you're obedient to him. You're reign with him because you're obedient to him. Hallelujah. Big sacrifices don't move him. What moves him is obedience. No, you can come to the tree and drink because you're an obedient child. You can come and drink. You know when children are disobedient, you know when mothers and fathers there, they usually put them in the corner. The other kids are at the table eating ice cream and cake, but that kid that's disobedient is sitting in the corner in time out. I know my granddaughter from my son was cutting up. You know, she's just turned 10. And she don't do bad things real bad, but then she disobeyed her mother or father. Now she don't do what they say do. They put in time out, and they take away her cell phone. She got a little cell phone, though, that she can call her friends or call us. Oh, she can play her games. She likes to play her games on the computer. She knows how to use the computer well. But she goes in the corner. They're eating stuff that she likes. She can't have anything. So she spends her time in the corner. They put her stuff aside, but she got to spend her time in the corner. Well, it's the same way. We can't go to the tree of hope and drink and eat and if we are disobedient. He puts us in time out. You find out, it seems like that isn't working for me. My devil was in time out for some time. I remember when he acted a fool? He had to run away and hide in the mountains, in the rocks. He was in time out. And God wouldn't even speak with David for a while. Took him a long time. It was a lot of time between chapter 50 and 51. David wasn't hearing nothing. Long time. He went there and repent. We got to find time to repent. We think we're too holy. We all got a bag of chips and a Pepsi-Cola. Don't ever want to say, God, I'm sorry. I talked to my husband. I talked to my wife. I talked to my children. Or I would talk to a brother in Christ, and I raised my voice at them, Lord, and I didn't desire to do that. He didn't desire for me to do that, Lord. Forgive me. Call up the brother and say, look, I'm sorry. I ignore you. I didn't treat you well. You know, I don't talk to my wife about nobody. Nobody. If I talk to her about somebody, what I'm talking is well. Good. Pleasing to God. I know a lot of preachers. I know because I was with them. And they tell their wife everything about people in the same church that they're preaching to. Tell their husband everything. Tell people they're listening to. No. Listen to what he's saying. Let's go over here. My God, I got so much to give you. I got to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 24, but we'll leave that till the next time I come at the Lord. Let me come back. We want to go to Isaiah chapter 35. We got to go there. Let's go over to Psalm 1. Let's go over to Psalm 1. This is where I want to work. I want to work to Psalm 1. I'm going to hit it in the Logos Bible. Psalm 1. We got to bring this tree in here. We got to bring this tree inside of here so you understand. Jesus is the tree. A lot of people don't want to get there. They want, Pastor, you said it last week. People want the product, but they don't want to go through the process. They don't want to go through the process. Everybody want the money. They say, well, I'll get this. And people are getting so crazy in the church now, Pastor, I'm telling you. I love the Church of the Living God. But folk are getting so crazy that they are selling their souls. Preachers. They don't want to hear the truth, but God said, speak the truth. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, the truth alone don't set you free. You got to know it. You got to let the truth now become like you, come in your life like you had surgery. You went to surgery, had heart surgery, lung surgery, kidney surgery. The truth has to cut you open and then heal you. That's what the truth has to do. People want it, but don't want to get cut. You got to know the truth to cut you enough that you say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for cutting me, Lord. And heal me at the same time. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Number one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. Number two. Number three. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. How do you delight this thing? Do you spend a lot of time in the Word of God? And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Pure rivers of water. This tree here, roots goes all over. Not just one river. Many waters that roots are able to reach. That brings forth its fruit.
All right.
In seasons. Whose leaves also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Five things I want to talk to you about. We can take five insights from this short passage. This tree representing an individual among God's people is planted. It does not spring from a seed dropped by a bird or blown by the wind. It's planted in place purpose. Who would do that? Only God, of course. In John 6:44 teaches that we do not come to God on our own accord. In fact, no one can come to Christ unless the Father draws him. The emphasis is ours. He calls each person and directs his or her life, planting each where he desires. You have to look, we have to look at our roots and see if we are planted where God wants us to be planted, where he wants us to be planted. Number two, he plants each tree by rivers of water, which nourishes and sustains it. Water, of course, is a common symbol of God's Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. So if God, in his wisdom, plants us in the right spot and gives us plenty of water, we can guess what will likely happen next. We got to see to ourselves, am I growing? I got a word yesterday from the Lord. And it's a word that he had given me before, but he brought it back to me. And he said, if someone is not increasing you, they surely will cause you to decrease. So he said, examine the people that are wrong you, apostle, bishop, evangelist, teacher, deacon. Examine the people that are wrong you, the people that are in your circle, and see if these people that are in your circle are causing you to grow, causing you to develop. Are you increasing in your plan and purpose for the kingdom? Look and see where you are. Number three, unlike the fig tree that we talked about in Luke chapter 13, Jesus' power says to produce fruit and is cut down and thrown in the fire. This divinely planted and nursery bears fruit in John chapter 15, verse 6. It produces the good works God planted it to produce. John 15 and 8. Number four. Like the tree of life in Revelation chapter 22 and 2, the leaves on this tree does not wither. The process God put in this is trees to produces not withering and death, which is the natural course of things, but growth, productivity, and life. The psalmist claims that this person who is like a tree will prosper and in whatever he does. You see, when God plants you where he needs us to be, we prosper. Oh, you said, but I'm still poor, Pastor. How can I be poor? You'll be prosper financially, spiritually. But most people focus more on the financial than the spiritual.
That's right.
And see, you can do a lot more because you think, well, if I got $1 million, I can help so many people. Well, when you have spiritual wealth, you can do a lot more. You can go down to the hospital room and you can pray for people to get healed. You don't have money, you can buy somebody food and get somebody shelter. But they got cancer, they need a touch from God. They need more than what money can buy. People put more emphasis on materialistic things than they put on spiritual giftings. But I want to be gifted so much that God can use me, because he knows that I'm just focusing on doing his will, not mine. See, when we get rich, we focus on doing. We can go to the mall. We can go to all. You go to the lobster, Red Lobster. Go to any place and buy anything we want to. We say, well, I got this. I have my Rolex watch now. I got my Lamborghini, my Ferrari. I got jets. Got a house in Ferrari and Hawaii. Got one in Caribbean. I got one in Europe. Oh, and all this stuff. They brag and boast about stuff that don't make no sense. The gist of this psalm does not imply material prosperity. Land, houses, cars, jewelry, cash, but spiritual, long-term success. Ultimately, he means righteousness, rulership, and eternal life in the kingdom of God. And we saw that in Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20. God wants us to focus more on spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth, when someone calls you and they're in desperate need of help from God, they're not looking for a $100 bill. They're not looking for $50 or $200 or $1,000. They're looking for you to lay your spiritual hands on them through the phone. And then they get off the phone from having a conversation with you, with God, you, God, and them. It's a threefold conversation. While you're praying for them, God is in the midst. And what happens is that when they leave the phone, you leave the phone, that they are filled. They're overflowing with joy unspeakable. Notice that the psalmist writes that the blessed person shall be like a tree, which is with why that is. It is possible that if we adopt specific attributes of a tree, we, like the blessed man, can avoid sin, delight in the law, and prosper eternally. We need to pursue this line of thought. In other words, we need to put our mind, keep our mind focused on Christ Jesus. We need to focus on things eternal. See, this eternal tree of hope is Jesus Christ. And if we keep our mind on him, Yeshua, Yahusha, we keep our mind on Yahweh and the plans that he has for our life, what he has done for us at Calvary, we begin to see that all, we begin to be established in this earthly realm. Working for God, we begin to be established. People begin to recognize the anointing that is placed upon our life. The anointing that's placed upon us begin to be seen. It's not just talked about. It's not that we're hollering about it and shouting about it. Now people begin to see the anointing upon you. I went to the courthouse, was looking to get some things done. And I was at the courthouse with my wife. And as I was there, the sheriff began to talk to me. And he began to tell me about who I was that he could see. And I mean, I was just amazed. We had such conversation. I've never seen this man before. Never met him because I've never been to the courthouse till a month ago. But just to get some information, kind of some information. Because I've never had to go there to the court for that. One court I've been, yeah, well, I'm sorry, forgive me. I went to courthouse here when after my daughter had crossed over. We went to the court, big court here. I know what they call it. Because I'm not familiar with courts, you know. I don't do stuff to go in the court. And we had to go there to get filed for parental, whatever you call it, to have the charge over Samara, her guardian, parental guardianship. We had to go and get that done through the courts legally. You know, now she is a woman now. She's 21 years old. But when she was, when her mother died, crossover, we had to do that. So I was just amazed that this man could see that who I was in Christ Jesus. See, when you begin to get close, nothing to boast about. It's something to be happy about. know, because when you, a lot of time when you're talking about Jesus and you begin to talk about the life that he's changing, because we're not there yet. We're changing. We're changing. You know, every day he's changing us and making us a little bit more like him. People can see it on you. They can see the glow. You don't have to put oil on your face and put a lot of stuff on your body. They can see it. It begins to glow. Hallelujah. You can have some dust on a light bulb, but once you turn on that switch, you don't even see the dust on the light bulb. It just begins to glow, light up the whole place. That's what happened. Some of us still have some dust on us, but there's some electricity inside of us, some spiritual electricity that, man, people can see it shining. And God is still dusting us off. Here, the trees get 90% of their nutrition from the atmosphere and only 10% from the soil. Humans receive physical nutrition from the soil through the foods it produces. But we get our spiritual nourishment from God through his Holy Spirit through the ear or on the wind, as it were. If we wish to think of the Holy Spirit like water, we can imagine the tree receiving nutrition when falling rain throughout soaks its leaves. We can think of this in another way. Jesus is the vine or the trunk, and we are the branches that grow off it. John chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 5. He puts us where he wants us to be on the tree, and we should be content to do what he wants us to do. As the head of the church, he feeds us to prepare us to produce the fruit he desires. John chapter 6, verse 44. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Most people do not realize that trees can induce rain. Most trees can induce rainfall by cooling the land and transferring water into the sky through their leaves. A large tree, through transformation, can lift 100 gallons of water a day and discharge it into the air through evaporation. An acre of maple trees can put as much as 20,000 gallons of water into the atmosphere each day. When God's children helped Jesus Christ make the desert bloom in the millennium, Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 and 2 and 6 and 7, they will surely be planting a great many, many trees. In this arboreal image, we can understand that the Holy Spirit flows both into and out of us. As we use the Holy Spirit in proper words and good works, God gives us more. When we pray, encourage others, share the truth, do acts of kindness, and the like, we are transferring like a tree. We as Christians spend our converted lives absorbing hit after hit, trial after trial. And if we do it right, we grow and overcome. Like a tree, we sequester or store away the lessons of life difficulties. We cannot afford to let them pull us down or stop us. While taking in these vital life lessons, we respond by demonstrating an excellent example for those around us to see. Remember, and we hope to follow the plan of God, our Savior. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. We have much more that you give us. We got to, oh God, about 40-some scriptures here. We pray that, Lord, all goes well throughout this day and throughout the night. And, Lord, that you keep us as the apple of your eye. We thank you for Apostle Stewart. We thank you for Apostle Washington, Brother Deacon Fraser. We thank you for Prophet Michelle, Brother Bishop James Washington. We thank you for those that came on and those that are listening near and far. Father, we ask you to continue to bless the airwaves. And Father, even as we pray for the Apostle Jefferson this morning, we pray, God, that you bring her back. And Lord, that you bring her back healed and strong, empowered to teach your word, preach your word. Father, we pray for Pastor Joyce and the community over there. We pray for Evangelist Tawanya Anderson. And Lord, we pray for all those Mississippi, the Texas crew, the Tennessee crew, the Alabama crew, the Georgia crew. We pray for Pastor Brown and Evangelist Brown, Pastor LeGrand, Evangelist Curtis and Evangelist Branch, Prophetess Jackie, Evangelist Sheila. Lord, there's so many to pray. All of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we pray for them. We ask, God, that you draw them to you, Lord. Lord, and allow them to see the light that you have placed upon my life. And Father, we ask that you heal their mental frame of mind. God, open the door to their hearts that they might receive, as we send the messages to them every day, that in their time when they hear the bishop doing the prayer of salvation, that hopefully that they will receive and come to this eternal tree of hope to receive the gift of life. Now, Father, as I turn this line over to Bishop, I pray, Father God, that you bless this, continue to bless this line in any way, in every way that you choose to. Just bless it, that, Lord. And Father, we are praying for this job that we just give the man, the contract on, that we get this job so we can have some more people. We pray that it's there. They got 30 days to receive or deny the contract. That, Lord, that they would receive, accept the contract for what it says. And we can go to work and make some funds. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on, oh, Brother Bishop. Come on in, Brother Bishop.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greetings to everyone on the line, my brothers and sisters on the line, the regular brothers and sisters that's here on every day. And for those who are here for the first time, we greet you with love from Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And from the bottom of our hearts, we do. And we're so glad that you came aboard today. And we pray in Jesus' mighty name that if you have not received him as your Savior, that you do so on this day. And you can write this day down on your calendar. You can write it, put it in a logbook, a notebook, put it on your phone. Remember when you first became alive, when you were first reborn. Hallelujah. Now, for those who have strayed, brothers and sisters, we call them prodigal sons and daughters. I pray in Jesus' name that you've turned back and headed back home. You know that Jesus is standing there. The Father sees us from afar off, just like he did the prodigal son. He saw him from afar off and recognized that he was coming back home. Hallelujah. What joy to the Father that we bring. Hallelujah. When you return back home. Now, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, no matter what you have done in your life, if you receive Jesus in your heart today, but you must say this confession and you must mean it. Now, how do you do it? In the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verses 8, 9, and 10. Okay? Now, if you have a Bible, okay, turn to it. If you don't have a Bible, just write the scripture number down, but do repeat what I say, and listen well. Now, as I say, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the scripture says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth. That's how you receive it. You must speak it. The devil can inject thoughts into your mind continuously. All the bad things that you did, God didn't inject that in your mind. The enemy did. The devil, he's the enemy. He's trying to win your soul. But on this day, kick him to the curb. You got kicked out heaven once, and you can't ever go back. And he knows time's short, so he's going to try and gather all the souls he can to make them suffer as he must suffer. Okay? Now, you know, the old saying, misery loves company. He wants many of us to be miserable, and we're not going to allow that. So you must speak it out loud. Now, if you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus died for our sins and our iniquities. It's all the sins that we committed were put on his shoulders. He carried it to the cross. He died for us. If you believe that, and you must truly believe it in your heart, and if you believe that God Almighty raised Jesus from the dead, you are now saved. The scripture says you are now saved. No matter what anybody tells you, the scripture doesn't lie. And any Bible you pick up, go to the book of Romans chapter 10, and read verses 8, 9, and 10, it'll tell you, you shall be saved. Not you might be, or you should be, or you could be. It says you shall be, which means you will be saved, and you will be saved. That's the word of God. Now, if you've said this and mean it, believe that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, he took Jesus out of the tomb. Hallelujah. And we were saved all eternity. Now, any sins that we have committed, we are forgiven those sins. Jesus went to the cross for all of us. All of us. And I'm so thankful that he went to the cross for me. You don't know. I've done things in my life like we've all done. I did things I shouldn't have done, but I did them. I didn't know Jesus. I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. But now I know him. You should know him also. Should know him at this time. You should know him. If you've made that confession, listen to me well. You have no record. We were criminals, and you have no criminal record. Your slate is clean. You know, there's no offenses against you because Christ Jesus died for those sins. We are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your obedience to the Father and giving up your precious life, your place on the throne next to the right hand of the Father. He did it for all of us, each and every person in this whole world. And if there's anybody in outer space, he did it for all of us, even outer space. We don't know. People speculate that there's a life on other planets. But on earth, we know that we are here. And Jesus died for our sins. So your next step is to be baptized. And write the scripture down, please, in the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. And Peter said, by the way, you must repent. Like I said, don't go back. Don't go back to what you've done before. Just stand fast right where you are. Hallelujah. Now, Peter said, repent. The first words Peter said to the multitude, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be well with you. Separate yourself from this perverse generation. It will be well with you and your family. Now that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, okay, you are an ambassador to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a title. Like I got a title because it doesn't matter about the title I carry or anybody else, bishop, apostle, evangelists, we're all ambassadors of Christ Jesus. So you're an ambassador in Christ. Now you've got a title, child of God. Hallelujah. I'm dubbing that title on you. You are an ambassador to the kingdom. You want to lead people in the right directions and keep yourself led in the right directions. God bless you. and your family. Now, your next step is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you do have a church home and they don't baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask them to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's plain and simple in the book of Acts, Hallelujah, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Read it for yourself. There is no other name mentioned in the Holy Bible of God, from Genesis to Revelation, no other name mentioned, as the only way is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope everyone gets that revelation, because there are some people who are stubborn as a Missouri mule. They don't want to bend down from traditions. Okay? No other name, and the only name mentioned is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only one where mankind can go to heaven. It's the only name. Read it for yourself. If you want to take the entire Bible and read it, you will not find another name in that Bible. Hallelujah. And God's word don't lie. It does not lie. So I pray that you have received Jesus today. And please let us know. We're going to pray for you. You know that you stay in the graces of God. If you're on Block Talk Radio today, you know how to get to Block Talk. Come and visit us every day. And if you have, you want to give a word, then, ask Apostle Calvin, can I give a word? And he'll let you come and give a word. Hallelujah. You're our family now. You've been our family, but you are our official family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know any one of you by name who received Jesus as their Lord and Savior today. Not to my knowledge, I don't know you, but you're my brothers or my sisters, whoever you are. I love you. I love all my brothers and sisters. I love those who never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because we're supposed to love one another, and we're supposed to have forgiveness in our hearts. You can't see God's face if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters for whatever they have said or done against you. Forgive them. Forgive them. And I had to do it. I did it before, but it wasn't like I did it a few weeks ago. Somebody who did me very, very wrong. But I forgive that person. Glory to God. I pray in the name of Jesus that that person receive you as their Savior. I hope they're on the line today. In Jesus' name, I pray. God bless each and every one of you. And Apostle, great sermon. Oh, my God. I learned so much. I didn't even know about how many gallons of water that a tree produces every day. Thank you, Apostle. I'm going to look up all those names that you gave me, all the things. I'm going to look it up and put it in notes somewhere so I can remember that. That was so beautiful. Yeah, the whole sermon was beautiful. I heard like the first 5 or 6 minutes. I wasn't on the line. When I came in, I heard everything else. God bless you, man of God. I'll give someone else a chance to reply.
Thank you so much for your salvation.
Hallelujah.
Pray that somebody was here today and receive.
Yes,
Lord. I tell you, believe it or not, we say it every day on Blog Talk Radio. We want people to really get it. We are in perilous days. Some people call it the last days, but we are in some serious times. The government is planning to do some things that so many people are going to be. A lot of people that vote, however they vote, and I like what Pastor says, he ain't voting for nobody. Because, I vote, but I don't even know if I'm going to vote again. Because the people, they don't care. And they're talking about taking your money. They're talking about taking your money. You know what I'm telling you? This president now talking about taking your money. They're saying that in 2023, that they're going to be taking your money out the bank. If they want to be able to control your money. And if we say that somebody give you a check and say, well, they want to give you $500, $1,000 or whatever they give you, they're monitoring how you, the money you put in the bank. And the banks, the government say they got use of your money, they can take your money. The government can put your money on hold. You can't even touch your money. You hear what I'm saying? Because the government got use of it. It's something else. So we're going to be operating just like China. This is the same thing they're doing in China and those are socialist countries.
Yes.
They control your money.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. So are we serious times, serious times.
Very serious.
Right, well, we got to pray. We got to pray.
Hallelujah.
We got to pray.
Oh, God.
Now the line is open. Bishop Apostle drop off and somebody said was on there with him drop off. But we don't mind. We got the word in. That's the key.
Hallelujah.
We hear it all. We got the word in.
Glory to God.
And we.
That's right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus. I said thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Word.
To God be the glory, Apostle.
Amen.
I thank God
you
for
know,
the word.
Thank God for the word. All through the sermon, you can hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus Christ. And all that he did for us when he hung on that tree. Cursed is the man that hangs on the tree. And because the Lord does not desire for our tree to be deemed dead and thrown into the fire, the desire of the Lord. His desire is that we stay connected. I heard, stay connected. Stay connected to the vine so that the rivers of water, the water will continue to flow. Wave upon wave over your life. The living water. You hear it all through the sermon. The living water. I was hearing living water, Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And if he had not gone to the cross and been crucified, all of us would never bear fruit. We would never be able to go and be with Jesus and reign with him. So what he did with that cross, that tree, he's our hope. He is our hope. The word is our hope. That was really a wonderful sermon. The word is our hope. And Jesus hung on the tree so our hope will be kept alive and so that we can continue to receive of the bread of life, receive of the living water, so we will bear fruit and not be cast into the fire. We want the water to flow, the living water, the rivers of life, the river of life, to flow over us, into us, through us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for what you did. Thank you, Lord. And when we are saved and we live for you, as you were saying, we got to live for God. We have to if we don't want to be thrown into the fire. We got to bear fruit. And as long as we stay connected to Jesus Christ, to the Word, and he was talking about reading your Word, that's how you stay connected. And by doing what God said to do, following those principles, following the principles, what is outlined in the word, and doing what we read, and we will not be thrown into the fire. Symbolically, we will live eternally, an eternal life, and reign with Jesus. That's so beautiful. That's so comforting. There's the hope right there. He gave us that hope when he died on that cross. Can live for an everlasting life through Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. The whole sermon is about receiving Jesus, and then after we receive him, that we live for him. Live and have life, and life more abundantly. While we're here, we diligently seek him, he will reward us. Stay on our post. I heard that too. Stay on our post. Pray. We're living in horrific times right now. You said that too. You made that very clear, and we can see it. You got to be blind not to see it. The horrific things that are going on the earth. The devil is wreaking havoc everywhere. It's Halloween in the earth. Having his way with the world. And if we don't come out, because symbolically we're all a tree. And if we don't come out of this horrific world, this horrible world, and stop living in the world and allow God to give us life and be sanctified and set apart. We got to be sanctified and set apart and live like a Christian ought to. You don't want to die. You don't want your tree to be thrown. You don't want to be thrown in that fire, that everlasting fire. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to burn eternally. Amen. You know, there's a scripture that talks about how it's better to marry than to burn. So we got to be married to the bride. The bridegroom. We're the bride. We're the bride. I just heard that. We're the bride. Mm. We got to be married. It's a marriage. It's better to marry than to burn. Not just talking about naturally, but talking about spiritually. It's better to always know and be what God designed for us to be, and that is to be a son and a daughter that's walking steadfast, living it up for Jesus. Hallelujah. Not living it up to have fun and do all of the things that the world gives. But nothing in the world can give us what we need so that we won't be thrown into the fire. Nobody but Jesus Christ, Yeshua, can give us what we need, that sanctification. And with that, we have that hope. The hope is kept alive in our heart. Mm. That tree you talk about is kept alive. We stay alive in Jesus Christ. And one day we're going to reign with him. That keeps that hope alive, no matter what the suffering, no matter what the challenges, the different things we go through, the affliction, the adversity, all of that, whatever the devil tries to do, God still takes care of his people. We have that hope in our hearts that he's fighting the battle for us. Because he's the one that hung on that cross. He's the one that finished the
work. Hallelujah.
He finished the work. Hallelujah. And now all we got to do is hang on. Hang on. And allow ourselves to be pruned. Because we all have to be pruned. Amen. Dead stuff must come off. Because what it does, the dead things in our lives will rob us. Rob us of good fruit, rob us of life, rob us of everything that God has planned for our lives. It'll rob us. Amen? The devil wants to take your life. That's what he wants. He wants to kill us. He want to kill us, kill our spirit, take away our faith. My God, my God. So, but with Jesus, when we stay connected, whatever he try to do, it won't work. It just won't work. Because we decide that I'm going all the way with Jesus. It doesn't matter what come my way. Hallelujah. We have so many stories in the Bible that shows us that Jesus always shows up. When the enemy comes in like
That's
a flood,
right. Yes.
God will lift up
yes,
a standard
Lord.
Against him. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And so this is what we look to Jesus. We just look to you, Lord, for everything.
Hallelujah.
And just continue to praise him, worship him, loving on him. That praise and that worship loves on Jesus. Ooh, and it's a sweet aroma to it. Glory to God. And just be thankful. Even through the challenges and all that we face in this life, you know, even in the valley, you bear fruit.
Yeah.
Even while there are
Hallelujah.
Fruit, you still bear fruit. When you're sick, you're still bearing fruit. Your soul, you said it, my soul is all right. The natural body goes through all of this. Sickness and different things and afflictions and all of that, but my soul is well. You
yes,
said
Lord.
It in the word, but my soul is all right. It's all right in Jesus. And many times when people ask me, even my husband would say, how you doing, honey? I say, it is well in Jesus. And sometimes I'll be aching all over. And I'll say,
mm-hmm.
it is well in Jesus. Because my soul... My soul is not sick. My soul is alive. My soul is full of joy, full of peace. I got that peace. And I'm not letting go. I'm not going to let go of Jesus. Glory to God. Because if I let go, I'm going to be thrown into the fire. Thank you for the tree of hope, Lord. Thank you for the tree of hope,
Jesus,
God.
Jesus.
Keeping hope alive in our hearts, God. It doesn't matter what the government want to do. God is in control. Hallelujah. Whatever they're doing, God knows about it. Hallelujah. And he allows what he allows, and he disallows what he disallows. They're not getting over. And they're not going to destroy the saints. Glory be to God. We have our place, our rest in Jesus Christ. That's our place. That's where we dwell, in the secret place of the Most High God. And ain't nobody going to snatch us out from the rock where he's hidden. In the rock. Hidden in the rock of Jesus. He's the rock. And nobody can come and snatch us away. Amen. Glory to God. What a wonderful
Thank you, Lord.
Word. God's word is always wonderful. But the
yes.
way you laid it out, wonderful, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for your word, God, for your servant, God. And Lord God, we pray, God, that you give him more and more and more. You give our apostle more and more and more because he desires, Lord. He desires to live for you, God. And God, we just thank you. We thank you that you will provide, that you provide everything for his life, his family. Lord God, everything concerning him, our apostle calendar, and all of you people, God, we pray the same prayer to keep us strengthened, to keep us moving in the right direction. Keep us on the path. Keep us stepping high. But staying low. Staying humble. But stepping high. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for blessing your servant with this word, your word. And for everything that he poured out, God, we pray you pour back in, God. and we know you will. Refreshing. Refresh him, Lord, when he comes back with the word, that he'll have even more. So much you poured out today, Apostle, but you'll continue to have even more, because the more we pour out, the more we give, the more we get. Them that's got,
that's right.
It, shall
thank
get.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Get. If you don't have it, you don't get it. Hallelujah. One time I didn't understand that. When I was younger, I was like, that's a foolish statement. Why would people, the more people got, the more they get? But I didn't know about the prayer.
That's right.
Didn't know the word.
I know.
And I, why not the poor? Why the people that don't have anything would get more? But then when I got into the word of God, I understood it. I understood that them that's got shall get. So Jesus, you shall get. You shall get all of what he promised. You shall get. And you shall thrive. You shall continue to thrive when you have the Lord on your side, fighting your battle. Hallelujah. Praying for you. Jesus Christ is said to be our intercessor. So he's praying for us. Hallelujah. And ain't no devil in hell going to snatch us out and take away our blessing, that we're going to detach ourselves, get tired. We're going to get tired. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of going there. You know, the devil will put it on your mind. And I heard you say something about the young lady wanted to commit suicide, or the devil put on her mind. The suicide came over her. Is that the same one that got the contract recently?
No.
Is that the same? That's not the same?
No, that's a different lady.
Okay. But see, that's what happens. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he does it every day. The devil don't stop. But we lack. But he don't get lax in what he want to do. He never gets lax. He continues to do everything because he got a plan to destroy, to kill, to steal. And every day he goes for it, goes after it. He goes after people. But when you're covered in the blood, be covered in the blood shed. He cannot.
Yes, Lord. That's right.
Do it. Because God, he's got us completely covered. Our life is covered and everything concerning us. So we thank God that Jesus hung on a tree. And during this time of Christmas, the only tree that I'll ever think about during this time is the tree that Jesus hung on. I stopped doing Christmas tree and all that. Only one tree that'll be in it, that's in this house spiritually, and that tree is what Jesus hung on. Hallelujah. So I don't need a Christmas tree because my Christ hung on the tree. Hallelujah. I don't need no Christmas tree with all the lights, because Jesus hung on a tree, and then he gave me life and light. He brought me out the darkness. So I got the light. I'm shining. I don't need to have a tree in my house. My daughter don't even do a tree anymore. We stopped that years ago because I stopped and then she stopped. Said, I don't need all that. I don't need the lights. We even stopped exchanging gifts except for the children. We give the children a little something. And we didn't even do that for the last few years because we give up the gift every day, that gift of love, that gift of self. You know what I'm saying, Apostle? We pour out every day, friends and our family. We pour out, and there's no need on a particular day for us to be, well, that's how we live now.
There's
no need for
that.
Because we are going to give gifts to our loved ones anytime it's put on our heart. Amen?
That's right.
Any given day, any given time, When it's put on our mind, we're going to do it. Because God has made us to be givers. Hallelujah. But not on no one particular day. Some people only give a gift to someone one day out of a year. But the most important ever gift to anyone through the Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. It's salvation. That's it. That's salvation because he hung on the cross. We can have it. We can have restoration and salvation, revelation. All of that comes. Revelation of the word. Jesus Christ is the word, the revelation. Hallelujah. And when we serve him, oh, my God, what a beautiful life. Amen. The beauty of the Lord, Jesus Christ, reigns. He reigns in our life. Apostle, thank you. God bless you. Yahweh bless you and pour out his supernatural abundance upon you, your family, the ministry. Amen. And this ministry is growing. It is growing. Say something or not. This ministry is growing. Miracles are going forth. People are being healed. I know so well it is because it's happening in our life, in your life, and those who are connected to Jesus Christ. And those who's on this line can come and testify if they want to about all that Jesus has delivered them from. Hallelujah. You know, and that's what we hallelujah about. All that Jesus has done, all we know that he will do, glory be to God. You can say hallelujah. So no matter
this ministry
is growing, glory be to God, and we are growing. Because you say,
yes, Lord.
Go back to all the words. Just go back. Go back. I've been with you for years now. I've been a member in this church for years. And I have grown. Bishop has grown. We have all grown.
That's right. We all have grown.
We're growing. And we receive our correction.
Even Brother Deacon Fraser. Even Brother Deacon Fraser has grown. He has grown a lot.
Oh, remember. Oh, my God. He has come so far. So far. And he's so appreciative. And God. And that's the key, too. Being thankful and appreciative and being mindful of others. Hallelujah. He's got it. He's got that in him. And we thank God for Deacon Frazier and every one of our friends and family on this line. And you mentioned the names. Those who have been to give, faithful to come, even if we're just listening and soaking. Sometimes we just need to soak. We just need to listen. You know, and let it, you know, so praise God. And thank God for that conversation. You see, with this lady, and God spoke to you to answer, to call it back. That's a beautiful testimony right there. That's another thing that God did because you're connected. Hallelujah. And when the righteous pray, the fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Needed that. Glory be to God. Two of my friends, and one of them is Apostle Millie, called me one day after I took that shot, that injection in my knee and one in my shoulder, because I injured my shoulder. And I had to take it because the pain was just so, so, so bad. And then my sugar level went way up high, but not as high as the first time when I took the injection in the left knee. But anyway, it went high. It was over 400, almost 5. And I was sleeping, and I was so, so tired. I was so feeling so bad. And Apostle Millie called, and her daughter was on the line, and they prayed and spoke a word over me. And Apostle, I got up full of energy, and my sugar levels dropped way down to 200. From 400, almost 500, to 200,
wow.
It just dropped.
Wow.
And then it went down lower. And so I told her. I told Apostle Millie and her daughter Sharon, prophetess. She's a prophetess. And I told her, I said, thank you. God knows what we need. I didn't know they were going to call.
That's right.
And I was like, I was so knocked out. I had been sleeping all day because, you know, the levels make you sleep. When you're hot,
yes.
When the levels are hot, you get very tired and listless. And you just get lax about, you know, you're just listless. And that's how I was, almost like lifeless. And they called and prayed and spoke the word over me. That's what God does. And I told them I needed that. I needed that. And I need thee, O Lord. I need thee, O Lord. Hallelujah. And God knows just what we need when we need it. Glory be to God. And he'll send people just like you prayed for that lady. And she got up. Got up. Glory to God. And it made her feel so good.
God is so good.
So good. So it's not just what God has done in the past, Apostle. It's what he's doing right now. This
right
is
now.
A now.
Right now.
It happened right now. Hallelujah. With my son, when he needed that miracle, God gave it to him. It's a now. It was now. Now faith is right now. Hallelujah.
That's
now.
Right.
That now comes first. Now faith is the substance of the of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen right now.
Yes, Jesus.
It's
thank
now,
you, Lord.
Now is the power. My God. Now is the authority. Now is the power. Jesus Christ. And so it's not just things that that happened before, it's things that's happening right now. Hallelujah.
Right
look
now.
What he's doing with
that's right.
They almost lost Bishop in 1 month. Bishop went out 3 times.
Jesus.
I had to do CPR. My husband was dying. And Jesus breathed.
Hallelujah.
As
my
I was
Lord.
Breathing. Jesus was breathing on him. And my
yes,
husband is
Lord.
Walking around. He has brought him back so many times that enemy has tried to take my husband out. But he can't
God
do
is faithful.
He can't do it. He can't. God is possible. That's it. He's so faithful. And I mean, I was just calling on the name of Jesus and laying hands on him. And Apostle, my hands was hot as fire. I mean, it's like
Jesus.
A fire. Glory be to God. It's a fire. Glory be to God. And I just was just moving my hand over his body. Glory be to God. And that was Jesus. I take no credit. That was Jesus. Glory be to God. And I thank God he allows me to be right there. When something happened, I'm right there. Woke me up to wake my husband up. Hallelujah. Could have died in his sleep. That's what the Lord does. And people need to hear that. He's a now God.
Yeah,
he parted the Red Sea. My God. Hallelujah. He gave them manna in the wilderness. My God. Hallelujah. Manna
Jesus.
That was so sweet. He gave them the manna from heaven. Hallelujah.
My Lord.
It's a Jordan. My God, for them to cross over. God did that. All the miracles that God did. Yahweh did miracles way back then. But he's still doing them now. He's still doing them now.
Jesus.
Glory be to God. So we have to tell of what God is doing now. Amen. We thank God that he's moving in our lives now. And you have those contracts now. Why? Because it's the kingdom business. It's you don't just go out and work for yourself.
Jesus.
It's for
Jesus.
Others as well. Glory be to God. It's for others. It's for Jesus. Then it's for others. Then yourself. Because Apostle, I know
thank you,
as soon as you get it, you start sending it out. Even sending it out when it's not as much as before, but you're still sending it out. Whatever we have to give, we need to send it out. Amen.
Thank you.
God will bless
yes,
it
Lord.
No matter how much it is. He's going to bless it. Hallelujah. We can't be God-given. Glory to God, glory to God.
Yes,
I thank
yes.
God, my Savior, hung on the tree of hope. He
yes,
is our
yes,
hope.
Yes, yes.
Glory be to God. I
yes,
love that.
Lord.
Spirit Jesus, glory be to God. What a wonderful, powerful word. And that will get people. That will point people to Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Yes, yes.
Glory be to God. And that's our mission.
Our hope has to be in him. You know, our hope
that's
has to be in him. He is the tree of life.
That's right.
You know,
he is the
we're just the branches. We're just the branches.
That's all
we have to let
amen.
People know that that's the one that has the power. He has the power. He is the light source
right.
of life. So we
Hallelujah.
Have to point people to him. You know.
That's right.
This word dealt with me last night. I tell you, Apostle, he dealt with me. I stayed up on the bed and I was just going through the scriptures. And I keep getting more and more scriptures. So the Lord said, well, you're going to do a series on this, you know, when
Amen.
He bring you back your series out.
Amen.
But this is the time that we really got to really be working that word. We got to work that word. This is no time
Amen.
For no ice cream and cookies. This is no time Amen. For no ice cream and cookie message. We have to get in the message that's going to cut. Let it cut. They get mad, they get mad, but let it cut. The word will cut and heal. It cuts and heals
right.
at the same time. So
cut, heal, and
do it. Put it out there.
That's
yep.
You're going to cut you, you're going to heal, and then you're going to grow. You're going to get some new branches. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Glory be to God. Wherever you prune, you get more. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Glory
That's right.
God. Thank you, Jesus. For more, God, more and more fruit, more of you, Lord. And I
yes,
always
yes.
say, God, what needs to be cut, God? Cut, cut it, cut, cut, cut.
Yes, yes, yes. Prune me, Lord, prune me.
That's
prune
right.
me.
Prune me, Jesus. Hallelujah,
Yes,
Jesus.
Prune me.
Prune me, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank God.
And
we
I just
complain.
Thought about that, you know, Apostle. I just heard that in my spirit. You know, a lot of people don't want to be pruned. Because pruning means correction.
Nope.
That's what it is,
right.
correction. And a lot
that's
of people don't want to be corrected. And when
that's
God
right.
corrects you, that's because he wants to use you more. You know,
mm-hmm.
he don't want to use you the way you are. He wants to use you more. He can do more when you allow him to to prune you, to correct you and show you what you do. Oh, my Lord, that's what I was hearing just now. So I said, prune me, Lord. Prune me.
Prune
I
want to
bear
God.
More fruit. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
I want to bear more fruit, Lord.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. We want to grow some more. We don't want that
yes.
stuff that we don't. Because God can see stuff that we can't see. Amen. There are things that happens that we don't know about. Even in our bodies, our minds. You know, God knows all. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen.
Yes, he does.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Yahweh's blessing.
Thank you so much. Let me know if you all can bring the word tomorrow. I don't know if you got an appointment tomorrow. Let me know.
No, I don't have any appointments until December.
Okay.
You know, early in
I put you for part three, I think, part three of the message.
Yeah. I'm still there. We're still there.
Yeah,
I have
part three of the message.
Yeah, I haven't been directed to go anywhere else. So we're going to stay in that. Amen. Glory be to God.
Yeah, I'm going to be on this one for a while because he's given me so much on it, and I got to point people, let people go there, you know. Because one of the things the Lord been dealing with me a lot last night as I was studying this. And he keeps saying it. He says, so many people say that they found me. He said, they keep saying
uh-huh.
they found me. And the Lord
like
said, I never was lost, and I never will be lost. You know, he kept pounding on my spirit. And I heard preachers. They, you know, they said, I'm doctor this body and doctor that body. And they like to talk about their doctrine. Apostle, if you can see me, man, them four talking about doctorate degree, you'll be cracking up, man. I'll be laughing so hard because they think it's a big thing.
that Dr. So-and-so, that Dr. So-and-so, you know, I be laughing so bad. That's not going to get to heaven. They're not going to get you to heaven. Because they want to know this body just got a doctor's degree. You can go on the internet and you can go to the School of Isaiah and you can pay $500 and get your doctorate degree. He sent it to you. You know, he sent it to you in the mail.
And then they hang it on the wall like they did something.
Yeah, no, that, they don't do that. They go on Facebook first, Papa. They go on Facebook first because the one boy see they got a doctorate degree. I see them on Facebook. They go on Facebook, say they got a doctorate degree. So now you can't never call them apostle no more. You can't call them bishop no more. You gotta call them. You gotta call them apostle, pastor, bishop. So I'll be cracking up. Yeah. And I'm listening to them, Pastor. I'm listening to them. Can't preach a lick of word, but they're doctor. They're doctor. I'm trying to get this thing like Solomon. I feel like Solomon to Tyre when I'm studying. I'm saying, Lord, give me more wisdom. Give me revelation, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me revelation. I want to be able to teach your people this thing with purity, that understanding, that they can understand, Lord. Make my speech be so clear that everybody can understand, Lord. That it's you, Lord, not me. You.
Yes, Lord.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. We need that fine-tuning of the Holy Spirit. Fine-tune of God. Hallelujah. Because we get better as we go. We get better as we go. As we show up for the Lord, we get better. Apostle, we have gotten much better.
That's right.
So much better. Oh, Lord, that's enough to thank God right there. Hallelujah right there. So much better. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we'll be, the Lord said the same, we'll be with you all on tomorrow. Praise God.
Yeah.
And God will give me more. He'll give us more. Hallelujah.
Yeah, okay. Apostle, if you can pray and close this up, because I know Bishop, like he's gone. Just pray and close. I just want to go ask Nancy some stuff, and I'm so drained right now. Deacon's on there. I don't know if he's going to say anything. I'm just like passing out right now. I mean, my body's just going down right now.
I am drained.
Yeah, I know. Let me tell this, Apostle. Let me tell this before you go. You know, you were flowing so powerful yesterday, not because you're my sister, but I got to tell you, you were flowing so powerful, your bishop. You know that you went past the time for Bishop to record the sermon. You went past the time. He did the prayer salvation, but it wasn't recorded. He did a prayer salvation. It was very powerful, but it didn't record because you had passed
the
time.
You went past. I wouldn't go say that until you say that just now,
because I said, Lord, Pastor, I said, Lord, she flowed. You were flowing such anointed. You was in such a frame of anointing. I wouldn't go stop you because one time my flesh said, well, why don't you let her know that she's going past the time, and basically not gonna get no time, have the time to record. And my spirit said, no, leave it alone. Leave it alone. You know, he said, leave it alone because it's in the word anyway. You know, and that word is going to convict people. So, but you float. Oh, Lord Jesus, I tell you, that was some word. That was some word.
But you know,
but you can't get through with that because when you float like that, it's God speaking. You know,
my flesh wanted to stop, but the spirit was like pushing me. And pushing me.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Because I said, after this one, I'm going. After this one, I'm going. But I couldn't.
You took me back to Louisiana. You met when it was over there? I get there. Hannah, you wait over there. I'll come back. I can't get back to Hannah. Hannah was weird. I couldn't get back to, remember? When it was at Veronica Church, I couldn't get back to Hannah. Yeah. My spirit was supposed to do something. I couldn't get back to her.
I said I gotta leave Peter and go to Isaiah. And I thought about I'll get back to you, Peter.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Peter, I'm gonna get back to you, Peter. I'm not gonna leave you alone, Peter. I'm gonna get back to you. I said, Lord Jesus.
I'm coming back. I thought about you as soon as I said it on the line. It came to me and I chuckled in my mind. You know, I chuckled. I said, that was Apostle. I'll see you later, Peter. I'll be back. And I will. That book, I got to go back to Peter. I'll be going back to the next chapter. And wherever the Lord, I'm saying that, but wherever the Lord leads, okay?
Wherever he leads.
That's where I'll go. Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's so much about the topic you preached on. There's so much about this topic that we preach about the sovereignty. Actually, it's connected. Because that's the Holy Spirit. Is these two topics are connected. Amen. And so we're going to keep going in the power and the flow of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Close out for us and let you get some rest. I know you're just gonna pass out.
I was going down there before. My eyes were closed and I was trying to keep myself from snoring on your ear.
You'll be all right.
I sit up.
You'll be all right. Spiritual eyes is open. Hallelujah.
That's what I had to do too. I had to sit up. I had to get in my chair. I said, "Oh no, I'm not gonna sleep on this one. I'm going to sit up," you know, because there are times when you will fall asleep, you know, especially if you're tired, if you've been doing, like, you go to work and you've done some hard work or whatever, you know, and there's a lot of things on your mind. And, you know, the devil likes to put us to sleep. He loves to put us to sleep when the word is
before. Yes, right.
You
That's
know.
Right.
So you got to
get
up.
When you're studying the word.
Just get up. Just get up and put water on your face, whatever you got to do, but get that word in.
Mm-hmm.
Let that word go in. Hallelujah. So let's let Apostle go, Bishop. We want to close out so Apostle can go and get some rest. God bless you, Apostle. God bless your family.
Thank you, Yahweh.
All your blessings on all of us.
I'm not on mute. Can you hear me?
Christ's name.
Yes, I can hear you, Bishop.
Okay, all right. Glory to God. May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. The enemy try everything he can, huh? May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. We'll talk to you all later. We're doing part three tomorrow.
Get yourself some
Lord
rest.
Say the same.
Get yourself some rest.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Don't find
I got my heat thrower turned on, and I'm going to wrap that around my body, and I'm going to
talk
to you all later. Love you guys.
I'm all right. I'm going to get under my blanket, too, but not now. Not today. It's beautiful here today.
Yeah. No, we've got a good chill here. We are pretty chill here. Very, very good, strong chill.
I saw it.
All right.
I got your weather report. Check on my people.
All right, weatherman. We're going to go now.
All right. Yes,
all right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen.
And Deacon. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.